Good morning. As you can tell, my voice is a little scratchy this morning, so bear with me. It's that annual thing with the pollen. Yesterday, I couldn't even speak, which was a blessing for Carol because she didn't have to listen to me. But it is good for everyone that we can be here today. It's a special day. It's Mother's Day, and it's always an important day, and we're so glad that we can be a part of it and share it today. Later on in the service, Phil will be bringing us a message on strength or structure and schedule, and it's important. We'll pick up in our theme on discipleship and life together, and so we're looking forward to that opportunity. And so we want to begin today, this morning, with the children's story. And we have a very special children's story today. So if y'all want to come to the front or however y'all would like to do, we'll be fine. Y'all want to come here? Look here. Look what we got here. Look at here, guys. All right. Here, y'all want to sit right here? There you go. Sit right there. Now, y'all watch those for me. I want y'all to take care of these for me, okay? Grace Ann, you want to sit over here? All right. Miss Nora, you want to get right over here, too? All right. Now, aren't they beautiful? There we go. All right. Yeah, those are some pretty flowers. Now, today is important because it's Mother's Day, and we want to honor our mothers today. And I want to begin by telling you a story. Do you remember Jesus' mother? Do you remember what her name is? Does anybody remember what her name is? Mary. That's right. Mary was Jesus' mother. And you know, when Jesus was born, you remember how they were trying to find a place to stay that night, and they couldn't find a place. There was no place in the end. And they finally kind of found a place in a barn, and Jesus was born in a little manger. And you'll remember there were the animals were there, and the shepherds were there, and the wise men were there, and that was all very, very, very important to Mary. And then Mary watched Jesus grow up, and she saw him in the temple, and then she also saw him later on as he would make furniture. He was a carpenter. But then he went on to tell people about God and how much God loves them. And so she would follow him from time to time and was there at a wedding with him one time. And other times during his ministry, she was there too. And even when he went to the cross, she was there too, because that's what part of a mother's love is. And so I want you to know that your mothers love you dearly, and they would give up anything and everything to make sure that you're taken care of. And so today we want to do something very, very special for our mothers. And so what we're going to do, I want you to take one of these flowers, each one of you. So Alan, you want to take one? Okay, Grace Ann, you want to take one? Okay, well, you want to take an extra one? Okay, good. There we go. It's okay. It's all right. Can you get it? Here we go. Let me help. There we go. Got two of them. And then we have one for Nora. Now, you want to go give your flowers to your mother? All right. And remember that Jesus, what? Loves you. Now, we thought we might try to give everybody one of these, but I think it's going to be hard to kind of get them out. So for all the women here today, if you would, at the end of the service, we'll have them here at the front. Please take one. Okay.
Gotten a few.
If you have your Bibles this morning, if you would, turn to Proverbs 31. This is a well-known passage and very, very appropriate for today. We'll begin with verses 25 and go through verse 30. Please join me as we read. Today, strength and honor are her clothing, and she can laugh at the time to come. Her mouth speaks wisdom, and loving instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the activities of her household and is never idle. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also praises her. Many women have done noble deeds, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord will be praised. Now that's a proverb that we hear quite often. But I want you to think about something. At this moment, go back and think about your mother. Each one of us, think about your mother. Think about the person that raised you as if she were your mother. Think about them. Think about what all they poured into you and me. What they poured into you. What they wanted you to know. You see, they had to have a lot of strength to do what they did. And they did it because they care about you and they cared about me. This was something that was very, very important. The verse talks about a mother's laughter. Can you hear your mother laughing? Can you hear that laughter? Can you see the smile? Of course, she could have got angry at you too sometimes too, and you might remember that as well. But the laughter. Give me a little bit of a moment. I'll have to share a story. I may have shared it with you one time before. But one story in particular where I remember my own mother's laughter. She would always, we had a creek that ran through the backyard. We had a bridge. We had a little stepping plank. And she would always go out early in the morning, warm up the car, and take us to school. Well, this particular morning, she warmed up the car, went back in the house to take care of a couple other things. Then I happened to notice that the car started moving. I said, Mom, the car has gotten out of gear. It's moving. She comes literally flying out of the house. She runs. She didn't take the bridge. She took the little stepping plank. One step and into the car as it was going down into the creek. So she rode it down into the creek. We had to get it towed out. She could have been furious. She got out laughing. I remember that. It's a very, very precious, precious memory. Thank goodness no one was hurt. But we remember the laughter. You know, we also remember their loving correction. You know, outside of this, when you're a parent, there is no instruction book, is it? You don't get any instructions on how to do this. Now, you can watch people, and you can see what to do and what you don't want to do. And too often we end up doing what we what? Don't want to do. But here we have the instruction. Here we have the help that we need. Here's something else that we know. When you're a mother or you're caring for someone as if you were their mother, it's for life. It never stops. Doesn't matter how old you are, it never stops, ever. And I thought about two expressions that I think characterize what being a mother is. One, on demand. A mother is always on demand, whether you want to or not, and especially when it's not convenient. On demand. And then the other is 24/7. It never stops. It never, ever stops. And so it's a commitment that is made for life. And so we are proud when our parents or those who are caring for us as parents take the time to invest their life in us and give of themselves because they care. Because they want to instill good character. And they want us to be responsible. So that's important. And then, there's something else that we remember. We grow older, don't we? Yes, we do. We grow older. But yet, the task and the responsibility continues. Some of our physical characteristics may change. I tried to say that as delicately as I could. Some of our physical characteristics may change. But what's in our heart continues to bloom. And it continues to grow. And here's something for those of us who our mothers are no longer here. Their impact on us exceeds their time here on earth. So while we remember them in heaven, we still remember them now on earth. And we think back to them. And we thank them. And so I want to conclude this little short message today with two expressions for all of you who have invested in the life of a child. Thank you. There's nothing greater. There is nothing greater to invest of yourself in the life of a child. And then here's the second expression. God bless you. For you are sowing seeds of eternal significance in all that we do. And all God's people said, amen. Now this morning, I want to share with you a couple of birthdays and anniversary. Let me find my thing. All right, we're going to use this morning. Okay, so I want to, a birthday on Wednesday the 12th, Leanne Meyer will have a birthday. So let's do remember Leanne on the 12th, Tammy Cates on the 13th. So we remember both of them. And then also on Tuesday the 11th, we have an anniversary, Greg and Amy Rigsby. So Amy, I'm coming hunting, and I try to give you some time to prepare. May we sing happy, well, she's looking. All right, we we will do it. All right, we will do it a cappella. You want to give us a start? And the conviction with which we sang. So, no, happy anniversary. It's good to be able to celebrate anniversary. Also, another celebration which I will mention. Patrick is taking care of some kids this morning. Many of you know Patrick Bennington. Yesterday, he officially received his diploma from UNCG. He received his PhD in music, and so he graduated, so we can now call him Dr. Bennington. Long path, and congratulations to him on that major accomplishment in his life. Also, the deacons will meet this Wednesday at 7 in Roy's room, so that is the last announcement that I have. For prayer concerns today, I would like to bring up several persons in prayer. You'll notice that I've told you I have a dear friend, Edward Constantine, a teacher from Raleigh, and known him for many years. He was battling mesothelioma, and he went to be with his Lord yesterday. So please remember to keep his family, his wife Deborah, also his sons and their family, Paul and Andrew, keep them in your prayers because this is a time that is very significant in their life. And they were a very strong praying family, very strong Christian family. And this is a loss that they will feel, but it also glory in knowing that Edward will be with the Lord. So please remember the Edward Constantine family in your prayers. Also continue to remember Peggy Behringer, Hope Marlowe. We continue to remember you with your voice. I can identify just slightly with you today, but we pray that the doctors can continue to find what's going on there. Continue to lift up Ray Insko. Also Brian Blaylock. Brian Blaylock is at Bragtown, a person that I knew when I was working with the youth there years ago. He is battling leukemia, and so continue to remember him and his family. Also, Cheryl Hamlet, Ann Williams, Linda Fogelman, continue to remember all of these persons, as well as Juanita and Aubrey Vickers. I want to continue to remember each one of them as well. And today, all the women in the church, all of you, we are praying for you. Because Lord knows, between dealing with us and dealing with children, y'all need all the help and all the prayers that you can get. And I'm serious about that. So may we go to the Lord in prayer. Dear God, we thank you for godly women. We thank you that you have brought key women into our lives to share with us the beauties of your creation, the beauty of life, the significance of life, and the importance of relationships. Dear God, we thank you today especially for all the mothers that are here and for everyone who has served in that role. We are thankful and you are indeed blessed. Lord, we also thank you for your unconditional love because you love us no matter what. You will be with us no matter what. And we are so thankful for that. We know that this weekend and next weekend, many persons at the college level, university levels, will be graduating. And we pray that as they graduate, that they will be able to further their lives in meaningful ways. And as they seek the various paths that they will take, we ask that they will keep their eyes fixed on you, that they may let you lead them and guide them in the direction that they should go. Help them to discover their purpose and their meaning and their reason for being. We also ask that you give us the strength and the endurance that we need to face the demands that come each and every day. For we live in a world that is rapidly changing, but you are the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Your love is unchanging. Your grace is unchanging. Your mercy is unchanging. And dear Lord, we thank you for that. We also ask that you help us to be more Christ-like in all that we do. You see, we're going through this journey over these next several weeks on discipleship and life together. But what it's really about is, how do we become more Christ-like? And how do we as a group, as a fellowship of believers, spread the good news, minister to one another, and invest in the life of each other? And finally, dear God, we lift up our families, we lift up this church, we lift up our nation, and we lift up every person that was mentioned today. We lift them up and we place them on your throne of grace. Dear God, give the strength of your presence in each of their lives. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen.
Am I on? Way on. Wow. That's pretty strong. That's good, though. Means I'm synchronized. Because that's what today's message is on. Strength. Strength. What I want to do to start with. Morning. That was nice. I'm not going to sing. Actually, I might. I don't know. I kind of like singing, as long as I don't have to. It's about like everything else in life, huh? If you don't have to do it, you kind of like doing it. I've got quite a bit of scripture for us today. Our special, we're going to listen to the music. I'm going to read some of the words, but where I want to start is actually where our source of strength really comes. Let's have a word of prayer. Gracious God, we thank you so much for the gift of prayer. We thank you for the gift of life. We thank you for the gifts that you have given each one of us, as varied as they may be. Lord, we ask that you give us the strength to carry on through our lives individually and as a church, proclaiming the good news that you offer the world through your Son and all the work that he's done for us. In your name we pray. Amen. So give me the strength to get through today. And the first thing I want to do is I want to be a teacher. Oh, yeah, I am a teacher. So we went through Peter's epistles. In our current study is rooted in 1 Peter 5:10. What I want to do is I want to read a little bit from 1 Peter and then jump into today. So 1 Peter 5:8 through 11. Be sober. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion, looking for anyone he can devour. Resist him, firm in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are being experienced by our brothers and sisters around the world. Now, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, will personally, gotta love that, will personally restore, establish, strengthen, and support you after you have suffered a little while. To him be the dominion forever. Amen. So we talked about restore, restoration. God gets in there and he fixes our lives. He fixes our brokenness. But we have to be established. We have to root our lives on a firm foundation on God's word, covered by his grace. And today we're going to be looking at strength. Today we're going to be looking at strength. And next week, real life support. And like we looked at these things and they just jumped out at us. And we're like, wow, that's life, right? We need to be restored. We need to establish. We need to build our foundation on the rock. And God has got to give us the strength. And we're going to take a little quiz today. I'm going to read some scripture, and I'm not going to tell you where it's coming from. Now, if you're a good detective, you can look and say, oh, well, I kind of have an idea. I don't want you to blurt any answers out. So when we get to the end, we're going to have like a little fill in the blank, and we'll see how well you have done that task. And so strength. The word strength, depending on translation, could be some, it's over 200 times. And you think about strong strength, like love the Lord your God with all your strength, body, mind, and soul. Think about that. Love the Lord your God with all your strength, body, mind, and soul. A lot of times we think about strength and it's simply physical. But there is spiritual strength. Sometimes we're spiritually weak. There's emotional strength. Mental strength. And as a baseball coach, I use the word focus a gazillion times. Today's sermon title is Strength of Schedule. Strength of Schedule. Last week, I was asked to be on a committee of eight to put teams in various places, seating them for the tournament. It was a long 2+ hours, and it was stressful. And I know there were disappointed teams out there. Undefeated teams that didn't get the one seed, didn't get the two seed. Strength of schedule. Their strength of schedule was not that great. And you think about that. Think about strength of schedule. And one thing I'm asking of us as a church, and I'm asking of you individually, is to examine your schedule. What is your strength of schedule? Are you living a life that's requiring risk to step out of the boat, to step out in faith, to do something that you hear God calling you to do, but you may be dismissing it because I don't think I'm strong enough to do that. You know, finances, that's where we really, where the rubber meets the road. Are we willing to step out and give? And then furthermore, giving isn't limited to what? To money. Are we willing to give ourselves? Are we living a weak schedule? Or are we living a strong schedule? Are we willing to hear the voice of God and to move forward? And so, where does our power and our strength come from? So I think this would be a good time to listen to this song, The Power of the Cross. Oh, to see the dawn of the darkest day. Christ on the road to Calvary, tried by sinful men, torn and beaten then, nailed to a cross of wood. To see the pain written on your face, bearing the awesome weight of sin. That's our sin. Every bitter thought, every evil deed, crowning your blood-stained brow. That's the power of the cross. Now the daylight flees. Now the ground beneath quakes as its maker bows his head. Curtain torn in two, dead or raised to life, finished. The victory cry. As Jesus is on the cross and he says, "It is finished." What is finished? His work has been finished. His power has been given to us. Now think about this. Oh, to see my name, to see your name written in his wounds. Think about that. Your name is written in the wounds of Christ. The blood of the Lamb has spelt your name. For through your suffering, I am free. Through Christ's suffering, we are free. Death crushed to death. Life is mine to live. See, the victory was won through the selfless love of God himself, who emptied himself for us and for our salvation. He came down. For God so loved the world, he sent his one and only Son. We stand forgiven at the cross. You see, as Paul writes to the Corinthians, that it was the weakness, right? Crucified in weakness is where we get our power and our strength. It is through the weakness exhibited by God. And something I want to contemplate is like the strength of schedule that God demonstrated. Think about that. God could have snapped his fingers and made it okay because he's God. But that's not the way he did it. So let's just do a little exercise before we move any further. And I'm gonna tweak some of the language, and it's for us, okay? One of the most familiar popular text is Philippians 4:13, right? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let's say it together, that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Can we do that together? Okay. And a one, a two, and a three. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. That felt good, didn't it? Yeah. Just shake your head. Now it's time for your test. It's kind of early. The Israelites, again, did what was evil in the Lord's sight. Shame on them. Sounds like us. So the Lord handed them over to the Philistines 40 years. There was a certain man from Zorah, from the tribe of Dan, whose name was Manoah. His wife was barren and had no children. Another story where a woman is barren and God strengthens her, and this person becomes an incredible figure in the Bible. The angel of the Lord, I want you to think about this, the angel of the Lord. A lot of times scholars will say that whenever we see the angel of the Lord, we're talking about the pre-incarnate Christ, because Jesus came to us in a point in time in history. Jesus, Christ has existed for all time, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God. Now, the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, "It is true that you are barren and have no children, but you will conceive and give birth to a son. Now, please be careful not to drink wine or strong drink or alcoholic beverages, or to eat anything unclean. For indeed, you will conceive and give birth to a son. You must never cut his hair, because the boy will be a Nazarite to God from birth and will begin to save Israel from the power, from the strength of the Philistines. Now, you may know who this is already. Then the woman went to her, told her husband, a man of God came to me and said, and he just looked awe-inspiring, this angel of God. I didn't ask where he had come from. I didn't ask his name. He said to me, you will conceive a son and give birth and don't consume any alcoholic beverages, any strong drink. He'll be a Nazarite till the day he dies. Manoah prayed to the Lord. He says, please, Lord. Like, we do this all the time, right? I need some answers, right? Please let the man of God you sent come to us again and teach us that we should do for the boy who will be born to us. Okay. Oh, God. Wouldn't it be nice if we had the instruction manual, right? And this is what he's asking for. Tell us how we should raise this child. And so then Manoah asked, when your words come true, what will be the boy's responsibilities and missions to be? Golly, man, if my parents knew what I was going to do, like today, would they'd be freaking out back then. But they're praising the Lord today. How about that? The angel of the Lord answered Manoah, your wife needs to do everything I told her. She must not eat anything that comes from the grapevine, or drink wine or strong drink, and she must not eat anything unclean. Your wife must do everything I've commanded her. Please stay here, Manoah told him, and we will prepare a young goat. And so they're going to like give this angel gifts, and he's like, you can't do that. And so they offer up this burnt offering, and Manoah took a young goat and a grain offering and offered him on the rock to the Lord, and he did a wonderful thing while Manoah and his wife were watching. When the flame went up from the altar to the sky, the angel of the Lord went up in the flame. When Manoah and his wife saw this, they fell face down to the ground. The angel of the Lord did not appear again to Manoah and his wife. Then Manoah realized that it was the angel of the Lord. He's convinced now. Then he says, we're going to die because we have seen God. Mother's wisdom. Wait for this. But his wife said, if the Lord had intended to kill us, he would have not accepted our burnt offering. Like, he'd have done it a long time ago. He'd have just gone ahead and got it done. So the woman gave birth and named him, this is the blank part. Anybody? Samson. You get a prize. Yeah. Samson. Now, when we think about strong people, who do we usually think of? Samson. It's ingrained in our heads that Samson is this very strong person, one of the judges who really took care of things. Now, I have a question. And my question really is this. As I read through, if you want to, Judges 13, and then you could pick up 14, 15, 16. Did Samson's strength come from his hair? I obviously want to say no. Did Samson's strength come from his hair? Or did it come from the Lord, who actually obviously gave him the hair? Think about this. This man, this boy was set apart before he was born and was to dedicate his life, his entire life, to the Lord. When we think about strength, our strength comes from the Lord. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in time of trouble and when times are good. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Over and over and over again in the Bible, we see these strength stories. We think about a mother. You think about Samson's mother. The encounter she had with the angel of the Lord. Now, you talk about a strength of schedule. That must have been a tough life. Raising this young man and kind of taking care of him. What about Mary? You know, how many times do we have to read about superhuman strength? And so, some of those words like bionic, which that might be my favorite because the bionic man, you know, that kind of dates me, but right? Heroic, Herculean. Then the thesaurus kind of wants to dabble into divine. When they go to omnipotent, I'm like, nah, you can't. Only God can have the word omnipotent, all powerful. Only God can have that term. Because only God deserves that term of all powerful. But we hear these stories about mothers who have superhuman strength when their kids are in danger. They fight off pit bulls, mountain lions, bears, lifting cars. Think about that. With the power that we're talking about today, really comes in weakness through our eyes. The power of the cross, which is a sign and an emblem of suffering and shame, became our hope. Strength of schedule. Do you think that God's strength of schedule, when he emptied himself and came to live with us, the maker, as the song says, the maker is bleeding and dying. Think about the garden, the jail, the hammer, the nails, right? Where, take this cup from me. That's a strong schedule. That's not a weak schedule. A weak schedule is hearing the voice of God and dismissing it. A weak schedule is just going through the motions, just checking off the boxes. A weak schedule is not stepping out of the boat. A weak schedule is just taking the gift without the gratitude. And as Bonhoeffer would say, a weak schedule would be cheap grace, not costly grace. You know, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And so I'm going to jump over and we're going to take a look at 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 18 through 31. This sums it all up. This is why no human being deserves omnipotent. For to those who are perishing, the message of the cross is foolishness. For those who are perishing, the message of the cross is foolishness. So for those who don't really get and embrace the message of the cross, they are dying. They have not the hope of eternal life. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. It is God's power. The I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will set aside the understanding of the experts. Where is the philosopher? Where is the scholar? Where is the debater of this age? Hasn't God made the world's wisdom foolish? God was pleased to save those who believe through the foolishness of the message preached. That is, Christ crucified. For the Jews ask for signs and the Greeks seek wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. Yet to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is God's power and wisdom. Because God's foolishness, if God could ever be foolish, right? God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, right? And God's weakness is stronger than human strength. So, you take the lowest of God is always greater than the greatest of man. That is our strength. Where do we get our strength? It ain't from our hair. It is from the Lord. We are weak. But he is strong. It's as simple as that. Our strength of schedule. How do we strengthen our schedule? Do we jump out of the boat in faith? Maybe if God says so. How do we hear the voice of God? Maybe we should spend a little bit more time with God. How do we strengthen our schedule? Well, we have to do things that make our schedule stronger. We have to do things like stepping out in faith. That's the bottom line. The only way you can increase faith is to step out in faith. But at the end of the day, and at the beginning of the day, where do we get our strength? It's from God, who demonstrated to us how much he loves us, that he will restore us, that our broken lives can be put back together, that he'll give us the strength as long as we build upon that rock. And so, you know, maybe there's something that you know, you're feeling today that, hey, I need to strengthen my schedule. I want to put my faith in Jesus. I want to put my faith and trust in God. And I just plead to him, please come into my life and open my heart and show me the way. Yeah, we all wish that we had just just an easy roadmap. And Scripture, it's Samson's mother and father clearly are asking for help of show us what to do. And it's not always easy. It's not always clear. That's what we call faith. Because it's not always clear. It wasn't even clear to the disciples why Jesus would have to go to the cross. And it wasn't until after the resurrection that it was crystal clear. Because he lives. And he has given us his Spirit. And he has given us that power through his Holy Spirit. That is the source of our strength. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to be strong in you. And as Paul says, to be strong and to put on that armor of God, to put on the helmet of salvation, to protect our minds from all the dangers that the world throws at us. That we can hold up that shield of faith to fight off those darts that are thrown at us from the devil. And we know that it's not just our bodies, our flesh and blood that we struggle with, but against the powers and the principalities. Help us to put on that belt of truth and to put on our feet the gospel news and carry it to the world. Give us the strength and the courage to go forth into places that seem uncomfortable, that seem too dark for us to go. In the power, in the strength of the name of Jesus, we pray these things. Amen. Now, there's a good schedule, walking close with Jesus. And so the benediction comes from Paul's letter to the Colossians. May you be strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share in the saints' inheritance in light. He has rescued us from the domain of darkness. Worth repeating. He has rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption of sins. We stand at the cross forgiven. May the Lord bless you and keep you, and may his face shine upon you both now and forevermore. And all God's people said, amen.